Hello and welcome to The Check-In, KBIA's live noontime forum for community connection and conversation. Happy Monday, and thanks for checking in with us today. So for a week now, our community has been under new rules. Some restaurants, gyms, hair salons, churches have reopened their doors, and we're in the beginning phases of a hoped-for return to a new normal. Our key words have gone from stay at home and lockdown to recovery and reopening. The state of Missouri is in the first phase of the Show Me Strong recovery program, and the city of Columbia and Boone County have also issued the first steps in reopening guidelines that have been in place for a week. Our local health director, Stephanie Browning, was quoted in the Missourian as calling this, quote, our journey to a new normal. So what is this journey? And for that matter, what does the new normal look like? Today, we're talking about navigating our way to this new normal. Our guest today is Columbia Mayor Brian Treese. We'll get from Mayor Treese the goals and the challenges of reopening Columbia, what that looks like for him and what it means for us all. We'll be talking with Mayor Treese over the next half hour. And you can join the discussion. What are your thoughts and questions about reopening? Have you ventured out yet to a reopened business to get a haircut, eat out? Are you struggling with the decision of whether to attend a prayer or worship service in your faith community? What questions do you have for Mayor Treese and about the city reopening? Before we jump into that conversation with Mayor Treese, let's go to KBIA health reporter Sebastian Martinez Valdivia. Sebastian has been closely following a story here in Missouri that has become a national story. It's the number of COVID-19 cases and people working in our meatpacking plants in Missouri and how those plants are responding. Sebastian Martinez Valdivia, thanks so much for joining us on The Check-In.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, Sebastian. So what would you say? You've been talking with a lot of workers and their families and also people who represent workers and their families. What are they concerned about, and are their concerns being addressed right now?
Yeah, so there's a number of common concerns across different meat processing plants, primarily in terms of people being in concentrated areas, large numbers of people, like around shift changes, when people are on breaks in the cafeterias. Because even if people aren't working in close proximity, which they often are in these plants anyway, there's often times during their shift that they are in close proximity. But some of the specific concerns at the Triumph Foods plant in St. Joseph, where I've been doing a lot of reporting, are having to do with testing. The state invested a lot of tests in trying to get all of the workers there tested. They did something like 3,000 tests of the workers there and found a large number of people testing positive. Originally, they said asymptomatically, so they had some 412 people test positive without symptoms. With further investigation, they found that actually about half of those people had displayed symptoms at some time or another. And right now, one of the big concerns is people testing negative as part of that and then developing symptoms, either because it was a false negative or because they then contracted the disease after testing. So I've got a source at the hospital there told me that they've seen a couple people who tested negative originally, then developed really serious symptoms, came into the hospital and tested positive. So those are some of the big concerns, is people working alongside people who may be positive for the disease without knowing it.
Okay, so testing is also a big part of all reopening considerations, a key pillar in reopening, and it clearly is a challenge with these plants. Are they going to develop the capacity to test the way they need to? What are your sources at the hospital saying about the testing and how they go forward with this?
So I asked the state about this, if they and the local health department, if they had plans to do any further testing at the plant, and they said right now that they didn't have anything set up for the near future. From what I've seen, it seems like what needs to happen here is there to be some sort of regular testing so that they're not relying on results from now almost 3 weeks ago that may be outdated, that may again have had those false negatives. But the problem comes down to just testing materials, which has been kind of the choke point for most of this is actually having the test kits available to do the testing that they need to do. But it's been a big concern. And another thing that workers told me was that actually between when they were tested as part of that big round of testing and when they got their results, people were actually still reporting to work. So before they knew whether they had tested positive or negative, they were all working together. And so that's another potential point of transmission. If you had people who would eventually test positive working alongside people without knowing it, that's another big concern. But overall, it seems that the workers at the plant, from what I've gathered, they feel essentially like the plant management doesn't really care about them or their safety. They're just trying to keep things running. And another big sticking point has been the executive order that President Trump put into effect, essentially mandating that these plants stay open. That order doesn't mandate that they not change their operations, that they not alter their operations, but it's been taken as cover essentially for these employers, for these companies to stay open and protect them from some liability in that respect.
So this is, Sebastian, this story you're reporting on has become kind of really on the cutting edge of where the tensions between business and the health of some of our most vulnerable populations come into play. You've got a lot of rural populations. You do have immigrant families who are relying on these incomes. So you have huge financial pressures from the business owners, the meatpacking plant owners, and that big industry there, with people who want to show up for work and they want to keep getting a paycheck, with that tension between their health. So it all comes together in this story in a kind of a really unfortunate way. What are you going to be investigating over the next week? What should we keep a lookout for in your reporting?
Two big things I'm going to be looking at. One of them is that that phenomenon of people testing negative and then developing symptoms and looking into what that means in terms of steps going forward, if that means more regular testing, if there's any way to prevent that, or if it is, like has been reported, you know, there've been cases of false negatives and false positives with these tests. They're not infallible. So if you can actually rely on them, if you're just doing one round of testing to ensure safety. And then the other big area, after people have been tested and after people have been found to be positive, the next big step is contact tracing. And you mentioned a lot of these workers are immigrants. There's a lot of people at the plant. There's a lot of Cuban Americans. There's a lot of immigrants from Central America. But then there's also a large population of people from Micronesia. At other plants, there's people from different countries in Central Africa. So you have a huge range of languages being spoken. Mm. And a lot of the time, these are in rural areas where their health departments have limited staff and often don't have the language speakers on staff to communicate with those workers. So it really makes contact tracing especially difficult because you need to be able to ascertain where people have been, who they've been in contact with, and if you can't talk with them in their language, that gets a lot harder. So, for example, in St. Joseph, the health department there said that they didn't have any Spanish speakers on staff until the state health department provided one to help with contact tracing. So my next steps are going to be trying to figure out if there are solutions to that, what health departments are doing to try to get around that problem, and how that can be addressed.
All right. Sebastian Martinez Valdivia, thank you so much. Good luck. I'm glad you're out there. You're talking with a lot of the people working in these plants. You're able to speak to them in Spanish. So we've got a little bit of the language covered there. So thanks for taking this on, and we'll continue to watch the reporting.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye, Sebastian. All right. Now for the topic of the day, we're going to go to Columbia Mayor Brian Treece. We want to talk about the challenges and goals of reopening Columbia and Mid-Missouri. Mayor Treece, welcome to the check-in.
Janet, good afternoon. How are you today?
Great. Thanks for being here. So at the end of March, Mayor Treece, you were last on the check-in, and we were talking about the city's stay-at-home order, which was just coming into implementation, and the state had yet to issue one. So now we've moved on, a little bit has changed. Can you just describe what you feel like has happened since then, and what's your impression of how our community has responded so far?
Well, I have been so proud of the individuals and families and businesses in our community that have followed the advice and the guidance of our public health director, and because of that, we should be very proud of the results of our stay-at-home order. You know, Boone County used to have one of the highest case rates per 100,000. Now we have one of the lowest. And even though Columbia is the fourth largest city in the state, our incidence of positive cases is a fraction of our peers in St. Louis City and St. Louis County, and less than half the rate of the state as a whole. But in order to keep the results that we all want, we need to continue to follow that guidance as we slowly take a step forward in our measured response while beginning our economic recovery.
Okay. So as you say, we did the stay-at-home order. You feel like the community did well. So we should take a moment to appreciate that about ourselves, done and done, mid-Missouri. We stayed at home. I want to find out from you, Mayor Treese, a little bit about how things are going so far as we slowly reopen. It's only been a week. But let me see how that's going. But first, let me just remind listeners that you can join the discussion. What are your thoughts and questions about reopening? We're really interested to hear, have you ventured out to a reopen business yet to get a haircut, a mani-pedi? Are you eating out? Are you thinking about whether or not to go to church or a mosque or worship with your faith community? Let us know what you're thinking about the reopening, what questions or comments you have for Mayor Treese and the check-in. How are things going so far? It's only been a week, but what are you seeing?
You know, I don't know that the demand is there yet for the public to get out. I still mm-hmm. think people are taking this very cautiously. And look, we have to acknowledge that without a vaccine and widespread testing, this novel coronavirus is going to be with us for a while. And that's why we need to put protections in place so that we can lift restrictions later. What does that mean? Well, we all need to take this time over the next 2 or 3 weeks, and we started on May 4th, for individual and corporate actions that really put into place those physical barriers, the physical distancing, the protections to protect your employees and your customers so that they can continue when these additional restrictions are lifted later. And, you know, we do that so that we can preserve and rebuild our readiness throughout the fall so that we all get back to what we all want, and that is time together. It's time at larger events. It's fall football season. It's a return to school. But to do that, we really have to put these protections in place and best practices and guidance that follows the advice of our health director.
Absolutely. We all very much want those things, football. We all want to stay safe as well. You can join our discussion again. We're at 573-882-9136. What are you thinking? Are you falling on the cautious side of the reopening? Are you very impatient and wanting to get out there and do things? And maybe you've already tried that. Let us know what the experience was like. Maybe you're a business owner weighing some really difficult decisions right now. Let us know what's on your mind. 573-882-9136. That's 882-9136 to join us and check in. We have a couple of calls. Let's go to Alice calling from Columbia. Alice, thanks so much for calling and checking in. What's your question or comment?
First, Mayor Treese, I just want to thank you for your strong leadership and your cautious reopening of Columbia. And you mentioned best practices and also the local health department. I want to commend them. But there's one area of best practices where I feel like Columbia is not up to par, which is mask wearing. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of confusion on this issue. As of last week, when I checked the local health department website, there was not even mention of CDC's updated recommendation of a month ago on wearing masks in public when social distancing is difficult. Myself and many colleagues in public health in the community would really like to see stronger recommendations on this. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Alice. Stay on the line if you'd like, Alice, since you work a little bit in public health. Why don't you stay on and we'll hear Mayor Treese's response. Mayor Treese?
Sure. Thank you.
Well, and in fact, when we announced this next step in that phase of recovery, we did recommend that when you go out to wear a mask or remain physically distant. And, you know, wearing a mask is not a substitute for being physically distant. But if you can't be physically distant, you should wear a mask. And I've certainly have been wearing one when I go out either to work or to the grocery store. And not only does that protect you, it protects others from you. And, you know, listening to Sebastian's fantastic reporting, not only on the incidence of false negatives at these meatpacking plants, but those who also test positive with no symptoms, which means mm-hmm. they're still contagious, they didn't know they were sick, and they're spreading that throughout the community. But look, you don't have to work at a meatpacking plant to be exposed to coronavirus when you can just go to the mall or the Holiday Inn Exec Center. And that's why we want to have these protections in place. That and the guidance that we've provided to businesses so that they can keep their employees and their customers safe.
All right. Alice, do you have any follow-up questions? And also, Alice, my question for you, what do you do in public health, if you don't mind us asking?
I worked on pandemic planning for a number of years in veterinary public health. I am currently retired, but I worked on SARS, Ebola,
wow.
Doing health education. Thank you.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, thanks so much for the call, Alice.
We may have to call Alice back into service to do contact tracing.
Mm. I would love to. I'm interested.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Alice, for checking in with us. Take care.
Thanks.
All right. And Mayor Treese, let's go to another call. We have Professor Roger Gafke, a mentor of mine and a longtime professor with the University of Journalism and Professor Emeritus. Professor Gafke, thanks for calling in. What's your question?
A question for the mayor. Where are the plans now for substantially more testing and the follow-up for contact tracing that looks like to me to be the only significant responses from these individuals of stay-at-home, wear a mask, and so forth?
Okay.
It looks like we need a huge amount of step-up for that. Where is that planning for Columbia and Boone County?
Okay. Mayor Treese, so question from Professor Gaskey about the systematic testing and contact tracing in our capacity that we have in Boone County.
Yeah, it continues to be a problem. Not only, you know, as Sebastian noted in St. Joe, but even here in Columbia, we have capacity with respect to the drive-through testing, et cetera. If we would have a pop-up, or a hot spot, we would get additional testing, but you know, as his reporting illustrated, there's a shortage of the cartridges. Our turnaround is quick, but now with these 15-minute rapid result cartridges or 15-minute rapid result testing, as you have reported in Montauk County, in Saline County, they had 373 employees at that meatpacking plant test positive. It's not only getting the cartridges and the test kits, it's having the personnel with the PPE, personal protective equipment, who can conduct the testing. And then let's say you get the results back, whether it's 15 minutes or 24 hours. And if you have 373 people test positive, then you initiate that very intensive, time-intensive contact tracing, retracing that person's steps over the last 2 weeks, contacting anybody that had been in contact for an extended period of time with that positive case. Director Stephanie Browning testified at our city council meeting last Monday that the maximum number of active cases they can handle with their current staff is 40. 40 active cases. And that's why we continue to have these restrictions in place so that we can monitor. And what's going to happen, just so everybody knows, and anybody can go to the City of Columbia coronavirus website and find the next steps to this plan. But, you know, we initiated step two on Monday, May 4th, and the incubation period for a positive case is about 14 days. So in about another week, you can begin to see, are we beginning to see a rise in the number of active cases, positive cases here in Boone County that may be attributable to us reopening the economy? And if so, we ask ourselves, is it manageable? And as we continue to see, and hopefully not, those cases rise, as long as we have the hospital capacity, the healthcare supplies, the PPE, the testing available to manage that, we can either continue on this current phase of recovery, or we can turn that dial a little bit more. What we don't want to do is have to go back and reinstitute a stay-at-home order to get the results that we want. And that's why it's up to everybody, as individuals and families and businesses, to continue those steps and those sacrifices to protect yourself and others.
All right. Professor Gafke, any follow-up questions, or does that answer your question?
Well, the complexity of the next step that I've identified, it's sure one needs to take that as a forward to the state. Otherwise, we're left to worry about it ourselves. So I've urged the administrations at the national level and in the communities to begin to figure out how can we do that systematic testing. The systematic testing. Think of our community. What happens when the students come back this fall?
Yeah.
We need to be in a stronger, positive position rather than this defensive position that we're in now.
All right. Yes. Those are great questions. Roger Gafke, thank you so much for calling in, and thanks for your question. We'll follow up with that. Yeah. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
And I had trouble, Janet, I had trouble understanding his question, and let me just follow up. We currently have the capacity to test all people with COVID-19 symptoms. Mm. What we don't have is the capacity for asymptomatic testing without a doctor's order or the so-called antibody tests. And keep in mind, that test is only a snapshot in time. And you hear, you know, statewide and national figures say, oh, the increased number of cases are coming from more people being tested. Well, just issuing the test doesn't create a positive case. The test simply identifies something that was already there. And what we need to be careful of is as we, we can't become, while we want to have more testing, what we don't want to do it's still a snapshot in time. And even though someone may test negative today and go back to work after 14 days, they may need to be tested again, and you begin to see how that could quickly exhaust the limited resources we have.
Okay. We're speaking to Mayor Brian Treese about the journey to a new normal. It's a hopeful one here in Columbia and in mid-Missouri. Is that possible right now? What do you think? You can join us. We've got just a few more minutes here, but we can get your call in if you want to join. Mayor Treese, you're mentioning a lot of the pillars that the state of Missouri and the governor's office mentioned about their reopening, testing capacity, public health data, and contact tracing, also with PPE reserves and hospital capacity. Those are sort of the four pillars the state mentions. You, last time we talked, Mayor Treese mentioned that you wanted to be guided by science and data. This seems to be what you're guided by at the moment. Is there any other criteria that you would add to this, or do you feel like you're guided by similar criteria and your own pillars would be similar to the state's right now?
We've always been a little more restrictive than the state, and thank you. You know, six weeks ago when I held the first community briefing on our preparation and response to coronavirus, I committed then to lead with the epidemiology, you know, based on data and science and not public opinion or political pressure. And there's some in our community that have chosen to bow to that political pressure and in public opinion. I just don't think we can do that now. I think we're seeing lower results than our counterparts in the rest of the state because we were more aggressive, because we put the stay-at-home order in place before. And even as we come out of this, there are some that want us to abandon our slow reopening in favor of the statewide efforts that just limit capacity to retail. Ours limits it to all businesses, including restaurants and gyms and churches. You know, the statewide order relies on social distancing recommendations. It's not even an order. Ours continues to limit mass gatherings to 10 people or fewer. And I think as we get through this next incubation period, we'll look at, are we managing those positive results effectively? And if so, maybe we can increase that to 25 people or 50 people so that we can all get to where we want to be this summer and into this fall and have a manageable environment. You know, I want to make Columbia as a college town an attractive and safe place for students to come back to school and do it safely. And I think that's an attribute for us. No one wants to send their loved ones to St. Joe or Saline County or Montauk County right now. But when we have one or two active cases and a great, robust healthcare system, it becomes an attractive place for parents to send their kids back to school. And that's what we all want.
Okay. Mayor Trees, let's take a call. We have Michael calling us from Columbia. Michael, thanks for calling in. Did you have a question or comment for us?
Yes. Just a quick thing for people out there that are starting to go back to restaurants, eating inside. We went to eat out yesterday, and there was a couple of large parties at the restaurant that finished eating, they paid their bill, and then they continued to sit in there afterwards. Well, the businesses, as you can see, cannot go to full capacity anymore. So that's costing the restaurants business and customers, because customers got tired of waiting to be able to get inside. So you got to be more considerate of the restaurants and allowing others to come in and not just sitting there afterwards. Because the businesses have already lost a lot of business thanks to this. But now it's kind of hard to make up the difference.
Okay.
So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay. Thank you so much for the call, Michael. Please stay well, and thanks for calling
in.
Thank
you.
Take care. So, Mayor Treese, do you have anything to add to that? It sounds like Michael's saying, can everyone please be a good citizen? And
yeah.
If you're going to go to a restaurant, go in and out quickly. It's not the same hangout over a glass of wine world that we used to live in.
Yeah, and I think as we're in this current phase and even into the next phase, you know, as restaurants are limited to 25% of their capacity, and, you know, for the restaurant owners that I've spoken with, the demand's just not there yet. Addison South was open all week last week, and they didn't have 25% of their customer base back yet because people just aren't ready to come out. When they are, I encourage people not just to go at the regular, you know, noon hour and the dinner hour, but stagger it out a little bit to give that restaurant even more capacity than exists than just at their peak time when you might be forced to wait, you know, to find a table. But, you know, that's exactly right, and that's one of the reasons bars aren't open yet. You know, that you know, as much as we all love to go hang out in a bar for an hour or two, there's that type of phenomena that occurs. Your inhibitions become lower. Maybe your best practices, that mask comes off. I mean, all of those things that are a potential, you know, ingredient for a future positive case and a hotspot.
Yeah, so even as we open up, it's not necessarily the same world we're in. Let's take another call. We've got just a second. Lynn from Columbia, thanks for calling in. Really quickly, question or comment for us?
Yeah, thank you. I live in Columbia, not far from the Assisted Living Center, and there's a huge sign, big sign in the yard that says Heroes Work Here, something like that. I'd love to see that every place.
Okay.
But I'm bothered by the flyover that happened recently and the flyovers that are happening around the country. I know how much the jet fuel costs, and I'd rather see that money used for the protective equipment for our healthcare workers.
Okay.
I'm wondering what the mayor has to say about that. And I meant to start by saying thank you for all you have done, Mayor Treese.
Okay,
thanks
for the call, Lynn. We appreciate it. Take care. So, yeah, question. Mayor Treese, we're running out of time, but let me get your quick answer on flyovers.
Well, I hope that was a routine training mission that they had to fly anyway, and they made it a tribute to our fantastic healthcare professionals and folks on the front line. But I agree. I agree with Lynn, both at the state and federal level. It seems like local governments are at their own on their own when it comes to ordering their own PPE and handling tests, and now the economic recovery with the CARES stimulus funding sitting at the county level. I mean, we can use all the help we can get to provide the economic recovery, both short term and long term, that we all want.
All right, Mayor Treese. Any last words? We're out of time again. We will have to just have you back again for to continue the conversation. Any last words for us to keep in mind?
Well, you know, and again, I'm just so grateful for the sacrifice that each of you have made as individuals and businesses and from families who've sacrificed their time away from family and loved ones or homeschooled their kids and telecommuted to work. And we have some great businesses in town, big companies like VU that are buying hundreds of lunches to donate them to keep our restaurants going, but also to serve our first responders and folks like Dave Johnson at Broadway Brewery that are Broadway Diner that are keeping hungry school kids with a warm and nutritious meal. It's just overwhelming, and I'm so grateful.
Thank you so much, Mayor Brian Treese. Thanks for checking in with us.
Thank you, Janet.
Take care. That's it for today's check-in. Thank you for checking in with us. We'll be back here tomorrow, same place, same time. We'll be joined by Chris Fulcher and Lauren Farmeyer to talk about the Missouri Food Finder. Until then, I'm Janet Saidi. Stay well and stay in touch.